Hype Podcast, Season 5. This is going to be an exciting one. My name is Brandon Curry.
I'm Jeff Collins.
I'm Josh.
I'm still Josh Jeff Bond. Collins.
Oh. And Trevor Lindy.
So,
you look very imposing there, Bond. You're like very, very above us right now. It's like you're ready to fight.
He's looking down on us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Looking down on his ivory castle. And he's got the brick wall beside him. Today's a happy day, boys. Freedom! My oldest pitcher, Mel Gibson, and screaming freedom. And the kids are back in school.
Yeah.
And then it's back to work right away.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. I mean, this morning was, you know, daughter yesterday liked her shoes. This morning she hated her shoes. Meltdown Central. And then, hey, oh, my God. But it was very happy to drop them off, let me tell you.
See, we went back to school shopping yesterday for the kids, and they don't want anything. And I said, no, we're getting new clothes. Look good, feel good. I made them get new clothes yesterday.
Where'd you go, to the Elton Malls?
Yeah, I only shop at Under Armour now. So.
Okay.
It's 50% off everything in the whole store. So.
Do I look less angry now?
Yes, less imposing.
Yeah, that looks good.
Okay.
Less imposing.
Did you sit on that little stool? Is that what you did? You brought yourself up with a little stool there?
That's a little stool. I mean, it's a little turtle stool.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys. During the summer, though, like working from home most of the time for me, I feel so guilty with the kids. Like ignoring them most of the day, trying to get work done and leaving. And it's just, and then it's a bittersweet day when they go back to school because you do miss them and all that. But they got to, they're growing up. My kid's going to grade 8 today. Crazy.
Mine too. One of them hate it. I hate
last year before high school. It just grew up like that. It's crazy. Yep.
So Bondo, I was talking on the weekend with one of my son's friends, parents, and for your school district, I think we would be the same one, right? Where they have to opt out of collegiate. I think collegiate is our primary school. And they can opt out of it if they're staying with district school board. And then they go to Sir Winston Churchill, I think. I found that kind of strange.
Because
collegiate's so much farther away than Sir Winston Churchill is.
So why would... Right? That's above my pay grade, Trev.
Is it?
In terms of the household functions, for sure.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any... Lisa taking pictures
of her. What are you doing, Collins?
I gotta impress the women. I'm showing what I'm doing, eh? I'm sending to my secret admirers.
Okay.
He's following up the pro talks. That's what he's doing right now. He's following up his schedule.
Yeah, for sure.
His follow-up appointment.
Nope.
So
this is revenge of the real leader. Soon as for me, I want to start out this right off the bat.
Yeah, you do that.
Every realtor I talked about basically said they tried to take the summer off because it's been 2 years of full speed ahead. And they're all thinking, and I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off, but they're all thinking back, kids are back to school, get back to work. And like every realtor I talked to is just all over everything, like booking showings, listings, all this stuff, just because they're like, oh, I just basically took 2 months off. I got to get paid. So I think it'll be, and we're all talking about this right now. We were talking in our little group chat about the fear mongering that the media is putting out there for real estate and how the sky is falling and all this bullshit that's being put out there. It's essentially clickbait, and we know it's not as bad as it looks. Like there was a price adjustment. I do believe the price has mostly been adjusted now, but I also keep saying to everyone I talk to that this summer was not an ordinary summer. If you look at it, kids sports was back full speed, which it hasn't really been full speed for 2 years. Last year it started, but there's a lot of kids that were pulled and not put into it. Concerts were back everywhere in Niagara. I went to 3 of them. I know Trevor went to a couple too. Beaches were packed. Canada's Wonderland was open. People were camping. Cottages were open. It was just, let's get back to life somehow, enjoy living, and for me as a real estate agent and a builder, the last 2 years is kind of what propped up the economy was the real estate market and building. And it was just it was no slowdown whatsoever. And to be honest, I think a lot of realtors kind of welcomed this summer and said, I need a break. I'm going to enjoy family and friends. And hopefully when school gets back, we'll get back to it. And people aren't taking that into the equation that burnout's a real thing in our industry, in all four of our industries, to be honest. And
every industry.
People needed a break right now. And it'll be interesting because I think there's going to be some very motivated realtors out there to get to work. And people say, well, you need a buyer and a seller. But let's be honest, in my industry, if you've got a buyer or a seller, you've got to be on them pretty quick. You've got to motivate them. You've got to have the answers for everything. You've got to push the ball down the hill, you know, and it's really your motivating factors to them. They're your responses, your having some system in place to go from an idea to, you know, we're looking at houses or listing houses right off the bat. So I really think it's going to be an interesting September and October. I don't know what you guys think.
I think it's going to be pretty interesting. Well, I want to go back to your... Go ahead, Josh.
I want a price adjustment comment, though. And I think we've said before, but I mean, realistically, speak maybe a little bit more to the price adjustment today to, say, December or November 2021, Jeff.
Well really, it's
for January and February of 2022. What percent? Where's our price adjustment?
Well, we're adjusting across the board right now. And we had we have a weekly meeting with our brokerage. And they said, right now, you should be looking to buy, invest. They think it is a little bit of a lull in pricing. It's actually probably lower than it should be right now. And people think it's going to go further down with the interest rate that I think could be happening tomorrow. But what we're saying right now is if you're downsizing, it's not the best time. So if you're selling something that's worth a lot more and then you're going down to a smaller purchase. So if you have a 3,500 square foot, two-story, 2-acre house worth $1.5 million, and you're looking for that bungalow worth $700,000, we're suggesting might not be the best time to do it right now, just because your higher priced house is down in value compared to your lower priced house. But really, if you look at the last 6 months, let's say 9 months, because we're September,
yeah.
January, February, everybody knows the insane peak. Okay. And there's a lot of people who missed the boat on that price point. And I just think it was a blip in the radar. It's where there was such a small amount of inventory, but we were coming out of Christmas time, where Christmas takes like a 2-3 week hiatus of people even thinking about doing any kind of real estate because it's holidays, it's family. It's kind of like what this summer was. And that's my read on it. That was the insane peak of the market. So I'll give you an example of what it was going for.
So one
in about January, February, you're looking at a bungalow, like a 1,200 square foot bungalow in Welland. It was okay done up. They needed repairs. You're probably looking at about $800 to $850 for that. And this is in Southern Niagara, not North Niagara. I practice more in South Niagara. I do North Niagara, but I'm predominantly down here just because I get most of my calls from down here.
Now,
that same house is probably $650. So it's down.
In November of 2021.
November, you're probably, I'd say, very similar to that. If you're going year over year from last year, September to now, you're probably up around 5%.
So,
okay.
The market
stayed steady like it was. It just, we had this blip in January, February that went way up. And there were people. There's a big saying in real estate, it's not timing the market, it's time in the market, right? So it's owning the property and hanging on to it. Unfortunately, if you bought in January, February, and you hold on to your house, like I'm one of those people, and you're hoping it went up a little bit or you just had time for it, it went down quite a bit from January, February. There's some people who probably missed a good $100,000 at that point. But if you time the market from last year, you're up about 5% still from last year. This time last year. So, you know,
the big thing is these articles that you're actually seeing, and I posted it on LinkedIn and also shared it with you guys. And, first and foremost, welcome back Leanne and Stone Sea Witch and Mel. Thanks very much for guys listening and interacting. We really appreciate it. The, the key is they're using artificial like months. Do you know what I mean? Like, so that one article, well, it's going to drop 20 to 25% according to TD. But to Jeff's point, they're using like the 1 month worth of data. So it'd be like February and they're comparing it to August. And you can't do that. You got to put, Jeff hit the nail right on the head. Everyone's state of mind is different at different points in the year. So let me give you an example for me. Like April and May are crazy for and people that want insurance. I don't know. Maybe they're heading into summer and they want to be insured in case they kill themselves. I'm not too sure. But coming out of October and November is also a huge two couple months for people who want insurance. And obviously January and February, big for RRSP season. Well, I'm not going to compare my RRSP numbers to the middle of July and August. And I'm not going to compare my insurance in April and May to that of October and November. You got to compare like with like. And that's what these media articles are not doing. However, and Jeff, if you can take this over if you want, but it is true, it is factual that inventory is up. Time on the market is up, days on market is up. And actually, in a matter of fact, in the GTA, in the month of August, prices increased 0.9%. August versus August, 21 versus 22. So there's your, like, you really have to really read these articles and you figure out what they're actually using for context. And that's what I feel that's not actually happening. But, you know, Jeff, you can take it from here with regards to the housing. I mean, like, yeah, inventory, there's more inventory now. There's slight price reductions because there's more competition. Time on the market is up, and depending on where in Ontario or where in the country. So that doesn't mean, and units available to be sold is down. Sure. But that's just because of there's not enough buyers, right? Go ahead.
Like, I've got a perfect example of a client that many of us here represent. We bought a house for him, I'd say about a little less than 2 years ago. It was a detached bungalow, no garage, and it had an unfinishable basement. Let's say you could use it for storage. It wasn't a full basement. It's probably about a 5.5 foot basement. At the time we had purchased this house and it was a teardown. It was listed at 250. I got it for 245. And this is a plan that I do with a lot of young, handy professional guys that me and Trevor kind of represent. And then Bond ended up closing the deal for him. Sorry, Curry, we're trying to get you in there, but they needed the money before they get to you. But
that's fine.
they'll get there. Believe me, you must have a lot of older clients than younger clients, I'd assume that. And we can talk about that after. But anyways, the plan's always purchase plus. Where you get 40 grand worth of money if you don't have the money, and many of the younger people don't have it. They fix up as much as they can in the house for 40 grand. That's their whole budget. If they got an extra 10 grand, sure, let's go 50. So this client had fixed up this house. He redid everything. So he resided it. He put new stone skirting on the front, took out all the insulation. So there's no chance of vermiculite insulation. Redid the wiring, put down new hardwood floors, new trim, drywalled it. New kitchen, blah, 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 blah. He spent 50 grand. Now people say, well, I can't do that for 50 grand. You probably can't. This is a very talented young carpenter. And he did all that. So when we got time to sell it, it was right around the peak of the market. Now I thought 550, 600, but as an agent, and it sounds bad, but you try to test the market a little bit. Now, as long as the strategy is informed to your client and they're on board, you can do it. Now, the reason I test the market is we have a lot of agents from out of town that come down and not necessarily doing the research. Now, it might sound bad and people are going to say, well, why are you trying? My job is to get as much as I can for my client. Okay. And I always tell people the market will tell you if it's doable or not. There's a lot of people who aren't doing their due diligence on pricing when they're buying. They always do what's called a CMA when they're selling, which is a comparative market analysis. But when they're buying, they should be doing the same thing. And me and Trevor talk about this all the time. So you want to buy a house for your client. Here's some comparables that are similar to yours. This is what they go for right now in this market, similar to. So we said, let's try 625. And this was just about middle of February, I think, right around where the Ukrainian-Russian situation started up. Unfortunately, that's what most of the agents talk about as the big start of the decline in the market. Now, it had a lot of factors to go into it. I think we came out of Christmas with such a low inventory and people thinking the market would continue on the upward trend. But as we all know, the interest rates were going to be attacked because inflation was high, especially house inflation. They tacked it hard and it went back down. So this house sat in the market, 625. We adjusted 600, wasn't sitting. But from about middle of February, so March, April, May, June, the market went down 5% a month on average. Okay, 5% a month. And if you were ahead of it, you jumped ahead of it. But when we talked about doing this house flip, which was a yearly flip, so you don't pay capital gains on it, we thought, put in 40 grand, 245, you're at 285, and we'll list it at 450. So he was making, you know, about $140,000 profit he puts in his pocket after expenses, real estate fees, closing costs, all that stuff. And he doesn't pay taxes on it because it's his primary residence and he has the ability of doing that. So that was the plan. So it was about 16, 18 months when we were doing that. Now we said 450 was the plan when we bought it. So we set that plan in motion at that time. Now we ended up having to drop and drop and drop. We ended up listing at 500 recently last week and we got two offers, went 505. So if you look back in hindsight, when we first started this project, he's $55,000 higher than we anticipated was his best case scenario. Okay. And there's a lot of people that have this situation going on. The problem is that the market went way up and people are so focused on getting that price that's no longer achievable that you can't do it. It's kind of like if you think of gas prices, $1.50, $1.45 we're seeing right now, and it feels like the best deal in the world because we had $2.210 a little while ago, right? Now you see $1.45 and you're racing to the gas pumps to fill up, right? But it's the same for your houses. If people weren't focused on that high price and they're looking at the lower price now, it's still higher than the price was 2 years ago. So we're up, and real estate is still going to be like this year over year, except in the middle of the year, it blipped a little bit, right? So that's what's going on right now.
No, I mean, it's, hey, at the end of the day, I mean, I know how you work. So, I mean, you're fairly transparent and fairly straightforward, but I think people just need to realize that, listen, the season of, you know, 100,000-300,000 over offering, over list is just not there right now. And a lot of that has to do with a couple things that we're going to talk about today. Just, you know, FYI, everyone, we're going from Scrotox, which is Botox for your balls, to now talking about how the world's going to end or not going to end with inflation and interest rates.
Goes hand in hand, no pun intended.
Yeah, which, by the way, that episode was our number one episode to date. So hopefully this can kind of maybe...
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't lead to a bunch of more dirty topics to spike our...
Yeah, rates. I know, right?
on but, our podcast of so, professional figure.
Yeah. Hey, she's a professional.
Oh yeah.
All right. So we're gonna talk about. I just want to address a couple things here to the people that are watching and listening. Thank you. Stone Sea Witch. I mean, you have some pretty cheap property out west or down east. I think it's down east. She's down east. Mel. Yeah, I would have a look at your home in Ottawa. I don't know where you are in Ontario, but that is. That's a lot. $2,000 a year. Don't know where you are or why that is, but I don't do home and auto, and I don't do home and auto for that exact reason because I can't figure it out either. But
we could get a professional on though one day if we want to get. We should get a home and auto.
Yeah,
professional.
100%. We should definitely get a home and auto on, and yeah.
So. We've got a past episode that somebody can kind of listen to, right? But yeah,
I don't think $2,000 new, for more the relevant, years, Rich.
For us, yeah, I'm in St. Catharines and I don't even make close to that. So
I pay $1,100 for my new house a year.
I was going to say, I think I'm $800 a year for mine.
Yeah. I'm about $750.
So $2,000 is higher. Yeah. We'd need more details on it though, too. It depends, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the services are.
Yeah, we'll get a professional on here for home and auto because that is definitely a unique beast. So we'll definitely do that for sure. Inflation, interest rates. Trevor, what are you hearing from the inflation for the bank? So if you're listening to this later on and you're not watching us live, It is Tuesday, September the 6th, the first day of school. Thank God. And
well, tomorrow, for Ontario, let's be clear, or most of Ontario.
Most of Ontario.
Yeah.
And basically, you have tomorrow, September 7th, we are 100% getting a announcement from the Bank of Canada.
10 a.m.
I'm at 10 a.m. I'm watching. Trev, I know you're going to be watching.
Yeah.
What are you hearing? What are your experts hearing? What are you saying?
Most economists are on side with it being a half a point increase. That's pretty much what the consensus is. There's some rumblings. Like if you, and I'm pretty sure the article that you were referring to yesterday, Curry, when you gave me a buzz, was the Globe and Mail article where there was talks of potentially a 3/4 point increase, maybe even a full point, as low as a 1/4 point, but it's pretty inevitable that we're going to see an interest rate increase. Even if you look back to the comments that Tiff Macklin, the governor of the Bank of Canada, said, what was it? He wrote an op-ed in the National Post. I believe it was August 16th, I think was the article that he had written. And maybe we can try and pull it up just to put the link on the screen for anybody that wants to take a look at it.
Go ahead, address Leanne's question.
Yeah, right now, so variable rate right now is sitting at 4.7%. So then you've got your adjustments that go along with that. For, you know, depending on the lending institution, you've got your discount associated with it. Or if you're in a home equity line of credit scenario or just a regular line of credit, you're prime plus. So it'll be based on 4.7 and then whatever the difference is. Tiff Macklin in August wrote a National Post article, basically an op-ed saying, you know, they're moving full steam ahead. High likelihood that we're going to be in for a soft landing and not actually cause a recession, but they're more or less trying to make us, you know, and when I say us, referring to consumers here in Canada, that they're serious. They're serious about inflation. They're serious about getting it back to the 2% target. And even though, you know, like I said, at the end of last episode, we have seen a softening in the consumer price index from, you know, June to July numbers, 8.1 down to 7.6. But we've got to strip out the most volatile sectors, which is food as well as energy costs. And in that case, it brings us to core inflation, which was 6.2 in June, down to 6.1 in July. But taking it a step further, and this is why all the economists. So if you're simply looking at the CPI and seeing the inflation numbers drop, you're thinking, well, why would the Bank of Canada continue to move? But when we look specifically at the housing sector and what's still happening here, is it still maintaining a very strong position? And that's what they're trying to curb, right? Beginning of the episode, Jeff said, you know, and it's true, we have very much, we referring to like the housing market, so those of us connected to it have very much driven what's happened with what has happened with the economy and kept things moving full steam ahead. Right. And we're still seeing that now, which is why they continue to be very aggressive and they're going to continue to bump things up. So,
the media is driving a lot of stuff that people are complaining about is that corporations are posting record profits on everything, including groceries and energy and stuff like that. Yet we're still inflated prices. So are they just price gouging?
Yeah, there has been just as many articles that have popped up in recent times that people are now, the term greedflation is now coming about, right?
And it feels that way too. Like when you're going to shop at the grocery store, you're like, holy crap.
Well, that's it, right? Like you look at, there was a couple of items. Okay, so here was one of them that we were talking about recently in my house. Turkey bacon at the Superstore, Real Canadian Superstore, is selling for $7.39 a pack. But that same bacon previously, turkey bacon, was $4.99, went up to $5.99. But you can still buy that same turkey bacon at Walmart for $4.99 for the same pack, right? So, you know, I mentioned that term greedflation, and there was an article.
That's interesting you said that for Walmart. When I have a sore throat, I get Cepasols. You ever heard of those? They're like, they numb your throat.
Yeah.
At Walmart, $8.99 a pack. You go to the dollar store, exact same ones, $1.50 a pack.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I think what you need to do, we're going to go back. We have to go back to the days where, you know, I always reference this, our grandparents, you know what I mean? Where there wasn't any credit cards, or if you did have one, it was very, very rarely used. You really have to deep dive. I find that when it comes to people's finances, it's death by a thousand cuts. It's not usually one or two main things. You really have to dig deep. You really have to see to this point, like Jeff, like, and you know, people might be here. Here's four successful individuals, you know, who, you know, do well. And here we are, you know, griping about, you know, a $7 or $6 difference for cough drops. But the fact of the matter is, that's how specific you need to be, because that's how they're going to get you, Jeff, right? Like, you need to watch these costs. And the whole notion is manage your pennies, because the dollars will then take care of themselves, truly applies in this type of a situation.
Well, your best example is the Crave and the Netflix and all that. They were all like $6 a month. Now I checked my bill the other day and Crave's $20 a month. I'm like, what the hell? $20 a month for Netflix. That? Netflix Prime.
It's all gone up. Well, I mean, like, I'm booking, for example, a bunch of us are part of a business group, right? And our meeting's in about 2 weeks. And so I'm trying to look for a different location. And we went to this specific location in the summer of 2020. I won't mention the area, or I won't mention the place. But it was Trav Bondo, you might remember. It was outdoors, and we were by a bar, and it served lots of alcohol. So there we go. It was in the summertime of 2020 when we were there, and it was for a summer party.
It's a great venue, fantastic venue, a very
nice venue. And anyway, we wanted to go back there, and so I just got off the phone this morning. And what we used to be able to do, maybe a la carte, or you know, maybe get something for $45 plus grat and taxes in for maybe a three course. It's now $75. What the hell happened in a year that you got an extra $30 ahead? And the answer is, I got to email them back and going, thanks, but no thanks. We can't do 75 ahead. There's absolutely no, Stone Sea Witch, not a golf course, but near a golf course. Very good.
I'm intrigued. I want to know what it is.
Well, I just don't want to, like, listen.
Well, it sounds like it's dirty. You won't say it.
So it's like, everyone's got to do what they got to do. And I'm not, I don't want to. Yeah, that's true. So I just don't want to mention anything, you know,
because it's not an attack against that place, right? Because no, it's everybody's doing it 100%.
And so here's my thing is that when you strip out oil, when you strip out rookie's response, when you strip out oil, when you strip out the things that like you really can't control, right? Like natural gas prices in the province of Ontario. You know, we were talking about that. It got released that in the month of July, it increased by 10 cents a cubic meter. Now I heard it, Trev, you heard it. We all heard it and we're like, okay, 10 cents. And we went on our little merry way. Yeah, well, they didn't say, they forgot the other piece to that. And that is a 50% increase to the price of natural gas in the province of Ontario. Well, everyone's bills just skyrocket. Well, you don't have a choice to disconnect your gas going into wintertime, right? Like, these are the types of things that people need to fully understand.
Opportune timing, right?
And
too,
you got to sit there and go, oh, we're going to do it. So the governor of the Bank of Canada basically turns around and says, oh, we're going to have a soft landing. We're not going to go into a recession. I don't know. But in the month of July, Canada shed 30,000 jobs. I don't see how 30? These businesses.
I thought it was 30,000. I was just reading something today that it was 70. I'm pretty sure that same Globe and Mail article was 70. Or was it the U.S.? Because the U.S. was tied into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that we're sending out our August monthly mail out, and the economists expected the economy in Canada to add 15,000 jobs and it shed 30,000 jobs. Now, that's significant. Obviously, oil and gas, they're firing on all cylinders, no problem. But I just honestly don't know how much people can take before everyone just walks away and just goes, we're not going to pay this anymore. Right.
Well, the time is perfect for them because everybody wants to travel. We haven't been able to travel. Everybody wants to go on vacation. You had no choice. Nobody wants to stay home anymore. They got to drive around. People want to have barbecues because they haven't had people over so long. So their timing is almost evil.
But isn't that capitalism?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
We live in, right?
Well, Bondo, it is.
Make as much money as they possibly can.
No, it's true. Right? And if you sum it up that way, it's right.
Yeah, well, not yes and no, because like Enbridge isn't capitalism. Enbridge, the prices are set by the OEB, right? And there's no dictating it. So they just go, oh, it's 31 cents a cubic meter. That's it. So that's
so if the government needs money, you don't think they jack it a little bit to pay for
that's
stuff?
That's it, right?
It's so the government jacking stuff as capitalism.
Like gas prices is 100%. Like gas prices is not like if you look at if you break down your Enbridge bill for people that are down in Niagara specifically, you've got the cost of gas that's set by the OEB. You've got your delivery charge. What the hell's that? It's a pipe in the ground. Why am I paying for a delivery charge?
Same with hydro. Hydro's got a delivery charge too, which pisses me off. And I've got a buddy from Welland Hydro. I'm like, why is my delivery charge different than the neighbor's? Because it's based on my consumption. Someone's carrying it over to my damn house. No. They click a button. Yeah. I get paid capital delivery charge. 100%. But why not just say it is? They can't because they gotta dress up the turd, right?
They
put a bowl in the turd.
They say that it's capitalism, but it's monopoly and oligopoly, right? Like,
oh yeah.
Now capitalism is Walmart versus the Dollar Tree. I have no problem with that. Because at the end of the day, if you don't want to shop around and you want to go and buy everything at Walmart or buy everything at Freshco or wherever you want to buy it, then that's your prerogative.
Costco.
But when I don't, or Costco, but when I don't have a choice of where I go, that's, I think, what's going to really hit people and hit people hard because you don't have a choice to disconnect your gas. And in the province of Ontario, and with the exception of up north, meaning Northern Ontario, you are not allowed to disconnect from hydro either. You have to. So even if you use zero hydro, they're still going to do a connection charge or delivery charge regardless. There's certain areas in Northern Ontario that are exempt from the mandatory connection to hydro because you have the ability to go solar or like, just because they just don't have the infrastructure is what I was told. But all I know is that because I have solar panels on my roof and I thought, oh, can I just feed back into my own grid? And they said, no, you cannot disconnect from hydro, even though I've got solar panels. So that's,
I think you can do that here. I think if you have hydro, you can disconnect from hydro with solar panels.
Nope. I already looked into it.
Government allows these monopolies.
That's right.
So who do we turn to for answers, right?
I don't know. I mean, the fact that's why I don't. That's why when Tiff was saying that we're going to have a soft landing, I don't know what data he's looking at because all I'm hearing from business owners going, they can't find staff. Like, I wanted to book an event at another local restaurant that we frequent all the time, and where the Wise Guys is held. And we wanted it on one date. And he goes, oh, the private room is booked. I go, well, what about the banquet hall? And he literally said, I can't take you. I don't have the staff. And this is 2 months ahead of time. He's saying no to 50, 60 people because he can't find the staff. So that's happening. We're walking away from an event in 2 weeks because our business group does not have the budget to sustain those increases. So sooner or later, it just all multiplies and compounds, and the next thing you know, it people just walk away, right? Carbon tax—that's a big one. That's happening right now. It just all adds up. But I mean, I don't know, Trev.
Gas is the absolute best.
People have to
walk
away for it to lower.
they have to. I just don't see. I mean, Trev, you were saying yesterday, and then this ties into Bondo. The amount of people talking to you about reverse mortgages in order to retire. The Bondo, the amount of people that are using bear trust agreements in order to get a mortgage across the line, that has drastically increased in the last 5 to 10 years.
It definitely has increased since the for sure. For sure.
Right. For sure. So that these are all indications of what common people are experiencing. And it's scary in my mind. I mean, Trev, what do you want to talk about with regards to the reverse mortgage?
Yeah, in all honesty, when we were talking about it, it was just the alarming number of people because of qualifying rates and, you know, obviously interest rates climbing, stress test, everything like that, and the shift towards the reverse mortgages, right?
You should explain what a reverse mortgage is.
Yeah, so basically it's anybody that's 55 years, 54 years of age and older could be eligible for this. It's every borrower.
10 more
it's
years?
It's every borrower on the application does have to be of that age. It's based on the youngest person, and you can essentially get up to 55% of your equity, right, in a mortgage amount. It can be used for purchasing. It can be used for refinancing. It can be used for buying an investment property, right? So an equity takeout, doing early inheritance for your kids or grandkids in some cases. And the nice thing about them is the borrower, there's three options. One that most people go is they never have to make another mortgage payment again. The interest just gets added.
Serviceability.
Yep. The interest just gets added into the mortgage. They've got to take care of their property taxes. They've got to take care of their income tax. But outside of that, they never make another mortgage payment on it. And they live their life. It keeps them in their house a little bit longer.
So what happens if they do that? Let's say they're 60 years old.
Yep.
They do it for 20 years.
Yep.
And then it's time to go to a nursing home.
Yeah. It'll come down to, when, let's say the deal is based at, I don't know, $750,000, right? The value of the house is $750,000, and we can get a reverse mortgage for, say, $300,000, and it starts at $300,000. And then as it still works like a term, like a regular mortgage, and you stay in that property for X period of time, it just gets added up. CHIP is what it's known as. But keeping in mind that a reverse mortgage in Canada is very, very different than what the US reverse mortgages are all about. And I only say that just because the comments about Jerry Springer, Maury, and from CWICH there. So it's very, very different. And basically, one of the largest differentiating factors between Canada and the US on the reverse mortgage front is, back to this example, I think I said 300, value of the properties were 750. They give you the 300K, interest starts accruing, and assuming that the future value of the house might be worth, say, $1 million, but now you owe $600,000 on the mortgage. At the end of the day, when you're gone or you sell the property, you pay out the 600 grand, done. The family or you have the additional equity. In the event that it's negative equity, right? So now the value of the house is worth 600,000, but you owe $1 million on it. The way our reverse mortgage system works here in Canada is the risk that those reverse mortgage companies take, and there's two of them, they are prepared to eat the potential loss that comes with it. So they would eat the 400 grand. Whereas in the US system, the way it is from consumer protection perspective, the company, the mortgage company, is going to come after the estate. They're going to come after them for
that. So Canada's banking on every 5 or 10 years, it doubles in value basically. So there's no real risk to them as long as it keeps going up. Like it's been going.
No, like when the two reverse mortgage companies here in Canada do their assessment, they base it on a 5% increase. So they, a year over year, 5% increase on the value of the house. Again, they base it on your age. They base it on the location of the property, the value of the property. If it's under $1 million, they're going to be more, they're going to have more latitude. They're going to give you a few extra bucks, right? still not exceeding the 55%, but they're willing to give you a little bit more money. Whereas when a client is in the north of a million price point, they're less likely to give more money in those cases, because right now, and like you alluded to earlier, Jeff, the value of housing, where's getting hit first? Lower values are the last to get hit, right? They're more, there's the pool of buyers in that category are significantly higher than those in the million dollar plus category. So that's making a big difference in the overall reverse mortgage piece. But I was saying to Curry, in the last 4 months, I have had more reverse mortgage conversations than I have since getting my broker's license in October 2015.
So Curry, you could probably address this, or Trevor, how does mortgage insurance work on a reverse mortgage?
What do you mean by mortgage insurance?
Yeah. So you're 60, you take out a reverse mortgage, 75, you have a heart attack, you drop dead. Does it get paid off with insurance completely? So you have zero mortgage on the end?
It depends on the insurance.
If you have life insurance, then obviously your life insurance is mutually exclusive to the debt itself, and that can be paid off however you want. The whole idea of CHIP is that they'll do, what was the loan to value, 65%?
Up to 55%.
So the idea basically is you have no mortgage. They'll loan you $550,000 plus interest on a $1 million home. And then the idea is if you die or sell, they have first or second position.
Only first.
On that home. Only first. Only take first?
Yeah, okay. The only way they lose first position is it, because there's only two people that can interfere with the bank's charge, CRA and the municipal property taxes. Those are the only two people that could ever bump Home Equity Bank or Equitable Bank, which are the two reverse mortgage companies we have here in Canada.
So if someone is doing a reverse mortgage, should they be talking to you, Curry, about getting proper life insurance on the mortgage, or?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, so the short answer is yes, as long as health allows. But here's the problem. If you're doing a reverse mortgage in order to retire, you most likely don't have the extra assets. That's just the reality, to pay for the life insurance premium, because you're now over the age of 55. And so those premiums have gone through the roof. So what we see usually on an estate is usually the siblings or the executor or the beneficiaries, however it's whoever finds out first, being shocked that their parent or loved one did a reverse mortgage and that asset is not as lucrative as what they thought it was. Because that immediate, because of the first position of the banks, they have to get paid out first. Right.
So when people are doing this reverse mortgage, they're supplementing their pensions more or less, right? To kind of live off as long as they can with.
Yep.
Now, what do you think of this as professionals, especially you, Curry, because you're the advisor for this? So I got clients that are probably going to hear this in the media saying reverse mortgages, it's going to be all hyped up, right?
So here's the thing. Like, it's not what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, a lot of people don't realize let's kick the can down the road and let's worry about the consequences later, or I'm dead and I really don't care. Mm-hmm. If that's your attitude, then no harm, no foul. You do whatever the heck you want to do. But that's usually not the case. Usually the case is a lot of these people want to leave something to their loved ones. They want to leave maybe a cottage or whatever the case may be to someone else. And they're put into a position where they have to supplement their income in retirement. And it's not something that they actually wanted. Starting early is the best way to do it. And, you know, putting money aside when you don't want to put money aside is unfortunately what you need to do in the early stages in order so you don't run into this problem when you're in your mid 50s. Like, for example, and I used this morning when I was on, I was asked to speak about this very topic on our local radio AM station. And they, you know, if you're on a defined benefit pension, so for those people that are listening or watching, that is basically you're on a pension plan. that is guaranteed by the pension company. So it could be, you know, Ontario Teachers Pension Plan, or it could be, you know, a government pension plan. It doesn't matter who. Name one that is a defined benefit, meaning the benefit that you receive monthly while you're retired is defined. So it's a fixed rate, and 9 times out of 10, those payments are not indexed to inflation. And what I mean by indexed is that if the pension's indexed in some regard, it would go up every single year based on the previous year's inflation. You know, government pensions still have that, but very, very few pension companies have that. And the reason being is people are living longer, and therefore the probability of them being on pension longer than what they worked is definitely a reality. And therefore, they would lose their shirt if they indexed it to inflation. So let's use my father-in-law as an example. Been retired since, I think, 2008. He's been on the same pension since 2008. What do you think his purchasing power is 14 years later? Ugh. It's next to nothing. Just in the last year, we've gone 5, 6, 7, 8% on the majority of items. So he doesn't get anything more from his pension. So these are the types of, like, he's fine. They were great savers, and don't get me wrong, but that's an example of how people, through no fault of their own, and trust me, I have no sympathy for people who, you know, make stupid decisions or do, like, that's your choice. And that's where I'm a libertarian. And I'm just like, I don't care what you do. It's your life. But when essential services like hydro, water, you know, electricity, natural gas are going up, you know, 5, 8, 9, 12, 15%. These retirees don't have the adjustable cash flow in order to pay these bills. And I think this is why I think TIFF is speaking a little bit too early. And I think he's sticking his stake in the sand and declaring a victory far too early, because what's going to happen in October, November, and December as we head into Christmas? So it's concerning to me.
The worst part too is it for those that remember, like, early pandemic, all of a sudden we had financial relief because you could defer your mortgage payments, defer loan payments and stuff like that, which was always a thing, but it just wasn't seen on this mass scale. But you had somebody like Evan Seidel, who was the president and CEO of CMHC, Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, at the time, making statements that the market is going to come crashing down, that we are going to see the early numbers were between 9 and 18% decrease within the next, I think it was 24 months, but then we would recover 12 months thereafter. And fast forward from April 2020, when that statement was made, and he was, you know, he was speaking before the House Standing Committee on Finance with the federal government. Fast forward to April 2021, and what did he say? His comments were very specifically, we missed the boat on this. And the reason why they said they missed the boat was because they didn't expect that the majority of people that would be most impacted are, like, those connected to hospitality tourism. Students were impacted. And I hate to say this part, but the other demographic that was most impacted was single women, right? That, like, with children.
Yeah.
Most impacted demographic of the bunch. And in most of those cases, unfortunately, those demographics don't fall into the home buying category as frequently as those that are dual income households, not connected to hospitality tourism, don't have children, things like that. That was the demographic that was most hurt, and it's going to happen again. That will be the demographic, maybe not like the single women with kids, like just generally single household income with children. Those are going to be the ones that are hurt most by these continued interest rate increases. It's going to be those that don't own real estate right now, right? Those that continue to rent. And the reason why I say that is because those that own real estate could still technically do a refinance. They could extend their amortization. There's so they can downsize if they have to and buy something smaller, more affordable. They have an asset, exactly.
To protect them.
But those that are in the rental market that don't have the asset, right? That don't have family to fall back on, that don't have, you know, as high an income coming in because they're working a serving job in the hospitality tourism industry, they don't have anywhere else to go, and they're seeing their paycheck go, like, not get stretched as far. And that's where the Bank of Canada, like Curry, you and I, when we were talking about it, what's it going to be? It's going to be those individuals that are, they're going to get squeezed, right? Those are going to be those that are most dramatically impacted. And it's,
well, no, you're spot on, because here's the thing, like, and Rookie, if we can keep on the four squares here, that'd be great, because I want everyone's, like, you know, opinion.
We want to see everybody's ugly mug all at once.
We want to see everybody's ugly mug.
We got to get Bob talking here too. He's been muted. Yeah,
I'll touch on a couple of the comments that were made. Okay, so yes, Stone Seawitch, if you when asking about pensions, you need to ask what the devil's in the details, right? Mel, great job on knowing that you're a defined contribution. Also, I'm not sure if Sudbury can disconnect. I just know that there are places in Ontario that they do allow you to go independent. Now, but also on people on defined contributions, I mean, just for the last 9 months, it's been extremely volatile in the markets. So your defined contribution pension plan that you've been contributing to, that you have a choice on where to invest it and where not to invest it, has taken an absolute pounding. So when you actually go and retire, if you're retiring in this type of an age in this year, you're getting absolutely snookered right now. But yes, single parents are absolutely getting the feeling the pinch. And usually it's because people are like, what ends up happening? People think when they hear recession, they think like global financial crisis, they think Great Depression. That's not the reality. That's not what we're really talking about. What we're talking about is everyone just basically cutting back and just not going to restaurants and not going out and not spending money. And that problem there is where it starts to become a snowball effect. And then everyone starts to get affected. And then that's how it turns into, you know, a pretty big problem. Because here's the problem here. We at least have exports that drive our economy and that kind of keep us afloat. The US is predominantly a consumer-based economy. So we all know that if the US sneezes, Canada catches a cold. Regardless if you like it or not, that is a fact. If the US is a consumer-based economy and all of a sudden they stop buying and they start going out, well, then we're going to feel it fairly soon. So it's definitely something that I'm keeping an eye on, and I'm really starting. Like, I had a call this weekend with great, I mean, Trev, I was telling you about it when we were chatting. These great, great clients, like two great jobs. They have rental properties. Like, they're great clients. They're so ideal. Like, I love dealing with them. But even them, they're looking at their cash flow statements and going, where can we save some cash? And I'm like, yeah, I know. Because no one else is getting a 7, 8, 9% raise. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's fairly significant when these costs go through the roof. But yeah, it's definitely what
I think bonds time. Let's give them a topic.
Yeah. Well, bond, I mean, the increase in bear trusts and how many people need to go on a mortgage in order to get it across the line.
Yeah, no, increasing since the stress test, you know, we've discussed, right? You essentially need somebody to be an accommodation endorser for you. Additionally, somebody who's co-signing your mortgage. Now the lenders want you to have your name on title. But yeah, no, it's definitely been increasing. It. And I mean, it's obviously a testament that people houses that they're buying, right? So I think part and parcel of it is that people, and I'm not speaking to the single parents or anything like that, in my heart, those people and people that are less fortunate, obviously. But I think in terms of what they can afford have been very skewed. And realistically, I mean, the lawyer is going to help provide you a mechanism of trust, but a lot of times you really shouldn't be in a situation where you need a bearer trust. You can't afford the mortgage on your own, right? Based on their level and that you need the sub mortgage. And so, I mean, there's products out there, but it's
well, see, I've got young guys that I tell that if you want to get in the market, the younger you do it, the better. You got to big borrow steel any way you get in it, because you could be a young guy who's say 19, 20, get a cosigner any way you can do it, rent it out with four or five buddies, which easily covers the bills, and just suffer for 2-3 years living in tandem or in group homes, more or less. Right.
Yep.
And then you have other people paying it, but you know, you have to have that tolerance to live with. And I've done it before. It's not easy,
But that's a plan, Jeff, right?
Yeah.
That's a plan that you're presenting with to contemplating, right? Like a lot.
So you're more referring to a single person buying on their own with no rental.
A couple, right? They want to buy a $1,000 house, but really when their budget can really afford a $650,000. So they go say, you know, mom, help me qualify for this $800,000 mortgage. And then they're raising their payments so that.
Well, and they have a $110,000 pickup truck that's, you know, payments are like $1,700 a month. That's a common story.
It's like, so what Bondo's point is, it's the exit strategy, right? What's the exit strategy that's associated with it? You know, Collins, you and I have a mutual client right now where, you know, she's a newer school teacher. She doesn't have a permanent position yet. So we know what her income is and what she can afford, but we've got to bring the cosigner in. So the cosigner is going to come into the equation, but the budget, and I'm very clear about this with my clients, this is a direction that I take, is the budget isn't going to change because we know what you're going to make as a teacher once you have, you know, your permanent position. So you can't go beyond it. I've got another client similar where we've got mom, dad, and sister that are co-signing on the application. So, okay, no problem. We can do that, but this is what your mortgage payment is going to be. So what's the exit strategy that we can get mom, dad, and sister off of the mortgage in a shorter period of time? And fortunately, in that case, it's a home that can easily have an auxiliary apartment put in the basement. If you go through the right channels, you get it properly permitted and signed off on by the municipality, then great. Now it's just like the flip shows that you see, the Scott McGilvery's, the what are some of the other ones that they do where they're renting them out, right? Yeah. They're showing the opportunity to get, you know, further income. Mm-hmm. That you need that exit strategy. Otherwise,
well, and the other exit strategy would be if you fix up the house enough and after a year, year and a half, if you're lucky enough, the market goes up, you sell it, you bank a big, you know, you can pay everybody off.
Yeah.
And you can do that too, right? Because you're not paying capital gains on that tax. So you're paying real estate fees, land transfer, well, not land transfer, the new one, but lawyer fees and all that.
No. With the value.
But if the market crashes, it controls. Yeah.
Right. Value of houses, people aren't selling as much, right? So that's where the exit strategy of selling it isn't always a viable exit strategy. So what else can you do? What else? What are your other options? Do you have a pay raise coming? Can we not use your income?
Well, we have a couple of other comments. So, I mean, Stone Seawitch said, how about Canada increasing the trading partners? But that would be for another podcast worth of material. Yeah, it would. That we're getting to the Trans-Pacific, the TPP, right, deal and whatever NAFTA is called now. But that's,
we've got somebody too that we can bring in, right?
Yeah. And yeah.
We had him on the show before. I can't think of his name. Michael. Going back.
Who did importing, exporting or.
Huh? I don't know. We'll have to do a brainstorm, but I'm sure we can find somebody that can do it. But that's actually a really good topic. So we'll take that one away. Mal, building a garage with an apartment. So that's really good. Okay. Stone Seawitch did ask a question. This is going to go to Bondo, mainly to Trevor. Would an option for single parents be to work together to buy a home and increase their ability to enter the market? Good strategy. Joint tenants in common.
Yep.
So,
and there's lots of people doing that. There's lots of
tandem buys. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Meridian Credit Union here in Ontario actually came out with a product that is friends buying together, right? They, you know, they're coining this product that this is this new thing, this great, you know, and I'm not criticizing them when I say it, but they saw the opportunity. They saw the gap in the marketplace that there are more and more friends or not even friends, like go on like
strangers, social. Perfect strangers. Remember that with Balky Botanicus and all that?
Exactly.
Yes.
That's a wicked
and joke. As a side note, if Meridian wants to sponsor our program, by all means, anyone that's listening, we'll take it. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, no, that was all I was saying, right?
But then you're going to have that stress of living with people you don't know, and that's a whole different ball of wax.
Well, that depends on your agreement. That depends on the agreement.
Well, it depends on your personalities, I think, right? Like you're living together, owning a property and making decisions on the value of that property and who's paying for what and who's doing what and all that stuff. Like, just people have to be aware, because I can picture this already. Just showing these couples houses together. It's hard enough for one couple, never mind two or three couples, to decide on one thing. You know, it's, and this is the thing people got to understand. Go ahead, bud.
My point is just try not to be delusional, right? Like a little bit, if it's a good buddy, you know, or something.
It's a good buddy. It might be a good thing to start, but it might not be after 6 to 12 months with them. I've got experiences living in Taiwan with people, and we got to the point where none of us would pay for toilet paper anymore just because we argued on who did it. So that we'd be stashing toilet paper and all this stuff, you know, like, fuck you, you know, like, I'll do my own thing, you know, and then, you know, you're like looking for a bidet at that point.
Jesus.
This is like with one of my closest friends, you know? So it's nice to be the king of your own castle. And you guys got to admit this, you know, having a wife in tandem with you, but I can just picture another couple of making decisions on your house about where you're putting your money or who's paying for what and all that. So just be very realistic about this. If you're doing it. I'm speaking from experience when I'm showing a husband and wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend houses, they're usually not on the same page. Never mind four people. People, and then you got their parents involved too, so like just it's not as easy as you think it's going to be. But I do believe beg, borrow, steal, get in the market any way you can,
because
it's time in the market, not timing the market, right? So
yeah
just try not to put it though, that's all right? Because I mean we all sometimes become victim wanting things that we really can't afford, right?
And it's
hard sometimes, I guess.
You know, Leanne said, have a good will.
Yep.
Right.
And
there's definitely, you need to also have, you know, it definitely has to be documented and it has to be written down and has to be very, very clear on what happens and first right of refusal. And if it gets you into the market, it gets you into the market, and that's what you got to do.
That's the tricky thing though. Like if you got in the market January, February, like you're playing catch up for a year probably now, year maybe two.
Yeah.
And what they say all the time, you're not going to lose money on real estate unless you're in a position where you're forced to sell. The motto in real estate, right?
But see, that's also when you look at it, January, February, the market was high because people were doing extreme multiple offers over top and pushing that. And me and Trevor talk about these a lot of times. We have a deal going, I'll put it in place. And I really tried my best never to really go over a list on the last couple of years. I really didn't represent that many buyers for the last couple of years just because I didn't like the prices we had to pay. I didn't like going over a list on
well,
it.
You
I didn't think
told
you
me.
To.
You told me straight up. You know, when I was saying, no, I want to, you know what? You said, hard to do my job in terms of the buy aspect right now, in terms of what's reasonable.
Well, for us, what happened was that all the GTA buyers came down. Blew everybody out of the water on offers. And the people down here, all the agents were like, well, I'm not doing that. And then the agents were like, if I don't do that, and the buyers were like, if I don't do that, I'm not going to get it. Like my strategy for the last year was aim for tenanted house to buy because I would, you know, unfortunately, don't get mad at me. We had to boot some tenants. You helped me out on that side before, and Trevor's representing that. And we had to get tenants out if they weren't on a long-term lease. They're on a month-to-month. I targeted that house because the agents didn't want to buy the house with tenants in it because it feels bad because you have to get someone to find a new place to live, which was really inconvenient. The houses are never left in good shape. You know, it's in shambles and all that. And you have to wait, 60 days, you know, and longer to get in there too. But I found that a place to target the market. And I found quite a few of them that were bought below list. You know, I've got a client in there right now. Me and Trevor have a client in there and Bond that's in there, and he's fixing it up and he's doing the old yearly, year and a half flip, you know, and he's expanding it. But he got in there because I didn't have to go $50,000 or $75,000 over in the crazy time of it. And you can do it. You just have to have the right strategy. You have to sit down, set expectations, and come up with a plan. And sometimes the timing's not right to buy. You know, sometimes you have to wait a bit. Sometimes the timing's great to buy. Right now, I'm telling all my buyers, let's get on it. Let's go right away. Because there's a summer lull that's still going on, and there's sellers out there that will take a much better price. You know, so let's get at it. So I got a crazy week this week of showing houses to buyers. And I'm going after them. I'm looking to get better deals.
I'm back on the market, Jeff. I'm back on the market.
Okay.
So, so basically, what we're all chatting about, I guess. I mean, housing is still crazy. I wouldn't be too worried about it. Yes, listings are up. Yes, time on market is up, and the amount of units sold comparative to the periods, relative periods, yeah, that's down, of course, but. You know, to see a 20 to 25% decrease in housing prices in the first quarter of 2023, I just don't see that. However, I am very concerned about just consumer behavior and with everyone getting pinched, how they're going to be able to afford, you know, your restaurants, your bars, your nightclubs, your, you know, even groceries and shopping and that kind of thing. So that's where I'm really concerned is the average person, you know, the middle class income is where I'm really, really concerned. Because the reality is the threshold for government assistance doesn't exist if you're middle class. No. If you're lower class, you get it. But if you're middle class, you make too much money to get any government assistance, and you don't make enough money in order to keep up with the rise of inflation. So it's that those people, they're getting squished. And I think Trev, you said it best, yesterday, I think it was, it just making the divide even that much more.
Yeah. Right. That's exactly what's happening. The upper class is just, they're going to continue, especially because as things get more unaffordable, they have the capital that they're going to be able to go and make those investments.
Well, right? And they're taking advantage of the dip in the market too. So they're just,
yeah,
let's get on it. Right. Cause I think it's going to go up from. People say it's not. I think it'll be a minimal gain from now till next year. I think it is. Like, I'm looking for land now to build more houses on it, right? Because the land still hasn't really dipped in price, vacant land. You know what the biggest shortage out there is that's not on MLS anywhere? It's serviced-ready lots to build on. You know, the land you find out there, you have to go through all the red tape to be able to build, but ones that are here, this is for sale. You can start building tomorrow. They're not out there. So people think that the land's going to drop in price. We've talked about this before in Niagara. It wasn't the houses that went up in value. It was the land the houses sat on went up in value, right? Because there was such a shortage of it. And the lots from when we started building in Dane City, we were getting them at $95,000, $100,000 for a serviced lot. You know, serviced at the lot line, but it was already legal description, I could build right away, just have plans. You probably pay anywhere from $250,000 to $300,000 for that same lot right now. Easy. If it's build ready. I'm not talking buying raw land, going through the development process that I'm doing right now on it. That nobody does that because it takes a year to 2 years to get it done.
And the carrying cost that goes with it.
The carrying cost, I pay on with just half a partnership, $7,000 a month on this land that we're developing in Fort Erie. And it's taken over a year, and we're no closer to being serviced on it. And that's where the appetite for most people aren't out there. But that's where the corporation appetite's out there. The big conglomerate who can do that, which is, as we know around here, Empire Homes is just coming in here, buying up everything and all that, because they have the cash flow to buy these lots and affordable lots, and they're not selling them to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, so infill lots come out there, and then there's headaches with the infill lots. And the problem is there's so many lots that are listed out there. There's one right across the street from John. I'm not going to mention the age or anything like that, but it was listed originally at like 280, didn't sell. It came off the market, and now it's listed at 600,000. And I've looked at it because it's marketed as four buildable lots. But there's a huge ravine right through it. And so your building footprint is almost like nothing. So it's like preying on stupidity to buy it without doing any due diligence on it. And it's not. Right. It's not. And the problem is that agent could be held liable for where they might, but all they put on there is do your own due diligence. You know? Like you can look on MLS serviced buildable lots ready to build tomorrow. You just need your plans. You can barely find them anywhere. Actually, me and Trevor are about to list one coming up soon. And we were talking price and all that. And I gave him a ballpark on it. But I was like, you know what? Let's bump it up a little bit because it's serviced and ready to go. Like you could start. And he's got the house plans for it already too. You know, so that's an interesting thing. And I do not see those prices coming down yet on the land. I see it coming down on ones that aren't serviced and ready to go. Because it's basically saying to the buyer, you do your own due diligence. I don't want to do it. And then you get a better deal on. If you do that due diligence, you'll probably get a better price on that lot. You know? Now, and I'm looking for them. You got lots. Send inquiries. If you got buildable lots in Niagara, boom, give them to me. I got buyers. I'll build it myself.
So just to recap, if we do, just to put it into perspective on another reason why we're talking about this today. So in Trevor says a half a point increase or a 50 basis point increase, the language that means is a half a percent increase. So if you are on a variable rate or adjustable variable rate mortgage, meaning variable rate, you have the fixed payment, but you have a trigger clause if interest rates go up high enough, and then that's when they can change your payment.
Terminology or is trigger rate.
Trigger rate.
So static payment and trigger rate.
Right. And then it's adjustable rate mortgage, meaning you go up every time interest rates get increased or you go down every time it gets decreased. To put it into perspective, if you have a $500,000 mortgage, okay, and the interest rate tomorrow overnight increases by 50 basis points or a half a percent, your interest payments next year for the next foreseeable future have just increased by $2,500 a year. And you haven't even done anything. So more money is going to interest as opposed to principal if you're on the variable and if you haven't done, if it hasn't hit the triggered rate yet, or if it's adjustable, your payments this year have just increased by $2,500. So these
it's
are
actually
the
about
things
$1,500. Right.
About so 15?
So that everybody knows, the general rule of thumb is for every quarter point increase that the Bank of Canada makes, your payment changes by approximately $13 per $100,000 borrowed. Okay. So in that per month. Yeah. So if you've got 13, so if it goes by a half a point, that's 26 times five, it's $130. By 12 months, you're looking at $1,560 annual increase or less money in your budget.
And that money goes in the banks and government's pockets.
So is that just because they don't take the full 50 basis point increase, or is that because of amortization? How is that? Because if I take 50 basis points and I multiply it by 500,000, that's $2,500.
Yeah, but that's the total cost, right? So like the payment amount based on the blended principal and interest.
Got it. That's what you mean. You mean, okay, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking just the payment amount. That's how it all.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Oh, so glad that we don't have to do that yet. Sorry, I see C-Witch saying that she's got to leave and pick up the kiddos from school.
Oh, yeah. You
we
guys
we still have like an hour and a half.
Yeah, we still have an hour and a half. We're still in a good old Eastern Standard Time.
See, I like picking them up the first day of school too. I like to see, you know, if they're excited or they're sad or whatever. They got the friends in class.
Yeah,
I love picking them up. I canceled an appointment today, so I could go pick them up.
I was gonna say, am I the only sappy one on this sucker here or what?
No, I hate it. I don't like when they go back to school. To be honest,
I don't. No. I Yeah, I mean, it's a bit emotional, but at the end of the day,
I got to get back to work though, too, right? So, like,
yeah, I got to work, and it's, you know,
it does make the weekends more fun though, because every day feels like a weekend in the summer, right? So, a weekend you get something to look forward to and all that. So, it's
well, and you get it's basically concentrated time, right? So, it's basically nice, we did that again. So, yeah. Oh, geez. Mel's kids are 26 and 28. Yeah, you're.
That's got to be awkward picking them up today, then. Eh?
Yeah, that'd be really awkward. Mel, how do you pick them up from school, Mel? That's. Can they not drive? Does Sudbury not have the driver's license
from the bar?
Pick them up from the bar.
Probably from the bar.
See, my son got dropped off by my wife today, and he's like, "Get away, get away." Grade eight, and he's like, "Get away, get away, get away." You know, it was chaos at school today too. They didn't have anything lined up or anything like that. Like it's. I hope they fixed the school year this year. They had no end of year trip for them. They had no, like, nothing. Like, it was, oh. Like, I told them, get on the parent teacher. Get me on the committee. I want to make a stink about it. I want a good trip at the end of the year from his grade eight. It's his last grade. Great graduation, right? So.
You have to park
two blocks away.
What school are they going to if they're 26 and 28? Is it university?
Medical school, lawyer school.
Oh, medical school. Law school. So Mel's kids are being doctors. That's good. Yeah. That's the new room. That's what we're going to go with now.
I noticed earlier, guys, like you guys coordinated your outfits for the day. Did I miss the memo? Is that what happened here? I noticed that a little while ago. I'm like, I'm wearing black. You guys all have blue on.
Yeah. You didn't see that? We were talking about that last night.
No, I missed that one.
Last night at 11:59 PM. Where were you guys?
It, yeah.
You're not working.
Yeah, I was there. I was on. I was talking to Jeff.
Kurt, we're talking to deal. Blue?
Yeah, blue for sure. I'm like, go and close. Firm that up, person, dog. Yeah.
Does that make you the black sheep, Trev?
Yeah. Apparently, I'm the black shirt of the group.
The black shirt.
Yeah, we'll go with
the black shirt of the group.
Oh, so her youngest is autistic. So Mel, is he nonverbal or verbal? We're on the spectrum. I just deal with a lot with RDSPs, so I'm in the disability tax credit. So I'm just very interested in like the spectrums and stuff like that. As we all know, one of my good buddies is running for mayor, and he has a nonverbal autistic son who's 10. So very familiar. Energy's podcast, I'm totally down. He's nonverbal. Okay, so does he have the disability tax credit? And if she says yes, then we'll have to add that. So I gotta write this stuff down. So
is it provincial or is it federal tax credit?
Disability tax credit? Disability tax credit, CRA.
I know we did one previously. It wasn't as wildly in depth, but we can definitely do a new one. I'm just taking a quick look here where it was, but I know for sure. It would be audio only. It was back from those days.
Yeah, back in those days.
We definitely
have. We'll do another one.
RDSP. Yeah, of course. Yeah, but in the meantime,
that's after our black and white days, right? We started black and white when audio only.
we can have Christy on. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Okay. Trade partners, trade countries, RDSP. And then ODSP, and then also Mel, we'll touch on the Henson Trust because that's key.
The next podcast we do is right after the Wise Guys Roast too, so we can.
Yeah, it's the 23rd for everyone that's watching and listening.
Yeah,
I think weren't we going to do like a live episode from Clariderma for Collins and Bondo's appointments?
Absolutely,
pretty sure, right?
As long as they're paying for my jab, I'll take it. If that's sponsored jab,
which I'll one's getting Grotox and which one's getting Scrotox? Have you guys?
I thought it was a 2-for-1 deal.
Oh, is it? Okay, my mistake.
Yeah. And you're getting the butt enhancement one, right? Where they give you a nice plump, juicy one.
Big I'm glutes. Part of this now.
Yeah. Well, you need to get a bigger cushion for your RV. We haven't mentioned your RV yet today, too. So.
Okay. I thought we were staying away from that, but. That's fine.
So we've got trading partners that they want us to talk about, and then they want us to talk about RDSP disability. I'll do the I love that stuff. So that's just kind of a sweet spot for me. Like I just have a soft, real big soft spot in my So, you know what I mean?
You get a soft spot. Really go get the Grotox. You'll get rid of that.
I'm not getting
spot.
No Grotox. No,
Grotox
no.
and Viagra.
I meant in my heart.
Viagra wants to sponsor us, say, after our last Grotox thing. I heard.
They should.
They're sending
Viagra
us email.
What Grotox, I want to know.
Viagra and Cialis are duking it out for the Grotox.
I want to know if more people kill themselves in the summer, though. If that's substantial.
What do you.
Your insurance. Because Curry had said that maybe more because you sell more insurance in April. So they're getting ready.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the case.
You know what? That one doesn't really make any sense. The October and November one does because you've gone through summer. You probably almost killed yourself a couple of times. You're busy with the kids. And it's school, and then you just need a couple weeks to kind of get back to the normal, and then you're like, okay, I got to deal with this now in October.
Winter, you got like slippery roads and all that. It's out of your hands, kind of, right? Too, so I can see that.
Leanne just asked, what do you think about early? Oh, that's rookie.
We get the big R came up.
Oh, big
He's
R.
He's gonna make a comment there.
Oops, yeah, maybe he was. Hit some buttons.
He's gonna tell us about his Grotox subscription he got.
A subscription.
Yeah, you got a monthly subscription.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. Nope. The didn't work.
Leanne had a question. What do you think about early CCP disability? So basically, if you take CPP, I think it's what you're referring to, not CCP. But if you're disabled, you can take it, and there's a gross up amount on the base amount. It takes you to 65, and then you revert back to your CPP. It's definitely plausible if you've contributed enough into the plan, but that's another topic. I can definitely talk about that. I'll write that down. CPP, because that all can go with in one, and then Henson Trust as well. Yeah, CPP. Yeah, okay, Leanne, I knew you meant. On in a very awful gray area. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll talk about that. So I'll be on the 23rd. Is that good for everybody? We don't have a guest coming on. I think we can tackle that.
Yeah,
no,
go for it. Yeah.
Are we going to be like hungover on the 23rd or what? How's this roast?
Most likely.
Be?
You might.
Yeah, most likely.
You might be.
Will you be coming over?
Curry as well. No. Bondo and I will be fine. I'm certain of that. We're always fine after these things.
Yeah. Cause we support by buying as much alcohol as we can. Right, Curry?
As much
as we can.
Shots on shots.
Dude, do the profits from the drinks actually go to Wise Guys?
But it goes to the place that's actually hosting it. So anyway,
I understand that.
If you want to bring your own pocket stuff and not support, just like your RV you didn't support.
I have no problem buying some shots. I just don't want to drink them.
Well, then you can buy our table. Yeah. You buy our table. No problem.
Hello, boys.
Right? So Mel goes, we might all need the disability tax credit by the time that show airs, and you're probably right. Oh, anyway. All right, so we've got some great topics coming up. I think we should definitely do an RDSP. I'm going to reach out to, she runs the Niagara chapter of Autism Ontario, and we'll go into that. Christy Sadowski. I'll see if she wants to. She might not want. She just might not like. This might not be her thing. But anyway.
Yeah.
But I'll ask her, and we'll definitely touch on RDSPs, Henson Trust. In the meantime, everyone, do some little Googling and stuff
like that. We'll keep tabs on how many drinks that Trevor and Bond buy and the thing.
Absolutely.
We'll have a little race for them. Whoever buys more wins it.
Wins the prize of the biggest hangover. Pole.
Yeah.
Well, remember, we also have golf for Duffer's Day on the 26th.
Yeah, I know. Well, so are you going to get wild on the 26th, or are you not going to do it either? Because I get super wild on Duffer's Day.
Yes, you do.
I've done figure eights in the fairway.
Yes, before. We know. We were there.
Yeah.
I don't remember it, though, so that's my defense. I don't remember it, so that's my defense. Is that a good defense there, Bond?
No.
I can use that defense.
I have no
knowledge of it, and there's no video of it. This is hearsay.
You probably get you on willful, being willful,
You just admitted
plausible deniability, I guess.
I admitted that I have no knowledge of it. I was told, so I just went with it. It sounds like something I would do.
And Mel's going to say
been
that
somebody
she's
in
a bottle of wine to the winner.
I'm telling you right now, Bond will win that one.
Yeah, he will. Well, boys, it's an hour and a half. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, typing your questions, and giving us some great topics. Because, you know, sometimes we've been at this for 5 years, right? So we kind of forget some of the topics that we've done. And we
want to do what you want, right? That's what we want to do.
We don't care. It's just, and
if it's Crotox every episode, then we got to do what we got to do.
And that's what we got to do. But the thing is if we don't know the answers, we'll find a professional to have them come on and promote them. And that's how what they get from this. So Bondo, take us out.
Help us stay informed.
I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host, Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Produced by Cryer Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.